Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Enterprise Ian Show.
Enterprise, 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 it's the Enterprise Ian Show.
Well, hello, folks. It's that time of the day when you need a bit of inspiration, information, and possibly a laugh, none of which you will get on the show today. I have some amazing guests. We've got Rachel Brown of Rachel's Creative World. Yay! We've got Flat White Mike, who doesn't say very much. Yay! We've got Kevin Kelway of Trade Matters International. And in the background, making noises, Matthew Clark, and trying to keep sanity, Fiona Cahoon. So, without further ado, folks, my first guest, my friend, my, I don't know, we weep together of the many crappy things that we have to contend with, Rachel Brown of Rachel's Creative World. And what we're going to do, Rachel, is I'm going to ask you three quickfire questions, and then in six questions you're going to tell us all about yourself for a bit of pizza, wine and enterprise therapy. So let's start, before we go, the really questions, the important thing, thick crust or thin crust pizza?
Depends what day of the week it is.
Really? Interesting.
Right. Wine, beer or non-alcoholic drink?
Wine and beer.
Right, okay, I think we get the flavour of where we're going with this one, folks. Rachel. Are you having fun?
Yes, I'm going to say yes today.
Oh, today. Are you making money?
A little bit.
And are you living a better life?
I feel like I am on the route to a better life.
Oh, this sounds like a goodie. So what do you actually do? No jargon. Matthew has a gong for the jargon. No jargon, just punchy. What do you do?
I use creativity and the arts as a tool for social change. And that social change is focused on enabling creative entrepreneurs, creative businesses to flourish, to make money, to make impact, to really come up with something new and different. And I hope by doing that, make the world a better place.
Yeah.
Flat White Mike. Flat White Mike, what do you think of this as a creative yourself?
I really like that. That's nice. I could go with some creative stuff right now.
Right.
I'm more concerned about the pizza crust, though, and like
it's
that you
true,
like
though.
Both at the same time or at different points.
Different points of the week. It depends how much pizza I need to eat to keep going.
Ah, I see.
Okay, yep. Folks, into the questions now, Rachel. So first thing is, how did this business start? Was it a plan? Was it a conversation? What did you do? How did it all come about?
Well, it's kind of a weird thing. I mean, I'm quite proud of myself. I'm completely unemployable. So the fact that I'm completely unemployable means I have to employ myself. So if I have to employ myself, then I'm going to do something that makes me happy, hopefully makes a few other people happy along the way, but also actually makes a difference and an impact. And in all honesty, it started, the bit that changed my life and made me want to focus in on creativity and all things associated with business around that, was I was teaching opera in prison, as you do. Oh. and as I was teaching opera in prison, it's probably the best leadership program I've ever been on in my entire life. Because nobody wanted me to be there. I certainly wasn't sure if I wanted to be there. I mean, to be honest, nobody asked me to go and teach opera in prison. It's not the kind of thing that you get a phone call every day of the week to do. But it was part of a music programme. And I met some of the most extraordinary people I've ever met. And they stay with me quite often. And the reason they stay with me is because they had so much potential. They were smart. They were funny. Yes, they were in prison, and absolutely a majority, most if not all, really did deserve to be there. I'm not suggesting for a second they didn't. But they had something that was really sparky, and they would make terrible employees, absolutely terrible employees. But they would have made great employers if they'd been given the chance. And I was really struck with the fact that I could deliver creative stuff, and have an impact with them, and their behaviour changed, and they had great ideas for business, and they wanted to make a difference and be counted, and their contribution was valued. And I remember going in like the first week, and they absolutely hated me. You know, and I would have hated me too. They didn't want to do it. They weren't involved. But when you, if you've ever been in that environment, when you walk in the door, you can't get back out. So, so it's not like you can nip to the loo and hide. You know, you're in the room for 4 hours with the people that are there. Nobody's leaving prison, right? You just don't do that. So I had to figure out a way of making people engage. And actually, it was my late father that gave me the best kick up the ass I've ever had. I came home all like, oh my God, Dad, like they totally don't want to sing opera. I mean, what's that all about? And he said to me, like, that's your problem. If they can't engage with you, that is your problem. That's not their problem. They're never, like, shut up. And he gave me a total lecture about I had to check my privilege. I had to be respectful and understanding of different people's situations. And I really respected my dad, so I listened. And I went in the next week and they hated me that time, and they hated me and they hated me. And then I caught on to something that, because I can DJ a bit, obviously. And so I decided to DJ. I decided to play like happy hardcore, and then I'd sing opera over the top of it. And the young people loved it, and we got right into it, and we went mad for it. And I did programmes like Rachmaninoff to Nirvana, happy hardcore to Gershwin, and they flourished.
Matthew's got a question.
Can I hear you sing a bit of opera, please? I really want to hear some opera.
So I would never normally do this, but I am on the edge of life at the moment, as Ian can well testify. I'll stand back a bit, because I've only got my mic down in a bit. You ready? I've not practiced. I've not warmed up. I actually do. That was a bit tough. Like, I've not, do you know, when I was singing, it's the equivalent, I actually could do like a big hour, it's the equivalent of doing like 100 sit-ups.
Flat white mic.
That's tough.
What do you make of that as a creative yourself?
That's
what
really
do
cool.
you think
what
of
I, what
Rachel's
I want to know,
saying?
Though, is the happy hardcore, like an opera. What a mashup. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Where can we get that? You should make that. That's amazing.
Yeah. I know, I should make that. That's how I probably would make some money.
I'm not saying that Enterprise Ian's intro is bad, but I'm just saying that happy hardcore opera would be smashing.
Yeah, I feel it, Mike.
What you're talking about here is miles away from standard business advice of business planning, yep. finance and marketing. Yep. So how do you make a living out of that? I mean, because seriously, all the organisations I've been to are stuffed people so unlike you, in fact, so like everybody, unlike everybody in this studio. How do you make a living out of this?
Well, the early stages, actually, it was pretty difficult because nobody believed me, and everybody is like, oh, bless her. That's really nice. That sounds like a nice idea. That's good. And I got a lot of pats on the head and put back in my box. And I suppose, if I'm being really honest, it doesn't help that I'm a, you know, smart, good-looking, working-class girl at the same time. Like, everybody likes to put those kind of people in a box. And so coupled with having some tenacity and a bit of drive, it just was a, like, disastrous combination. So in the very early stages, I didn't, not very much at all, but I started to have success with businesses. And I started to see that, I'm not going to name the names, but, you know, I'm not a fan of pitching. I prefer storytelling in the work that I do. So you could start to see the people that had told stories and their pitching competitions or the way that they worked, they were the ones that were winning. The ones that had authentic journeys and the ones that started to have real success were winning. And actually, I got commissioned by people who wanted to do it differently, people who'd been experienced. So, for example, the storytelling I do, we use stand-up comedians. So stand-up comedians craft 3-minute, really punchy, impactful pieces of work. And if you're going to tell your story as a complicated business, because let's be honest, most creative businesses are complicated. We still have a disrespectful view of the economic impact that creative businesses have.
Your business says you make people feel good about themselves through storytelling, yeah. And you value... It's not creativity,
no.
It's spark, it's energy,
yeah.
It's enterprise.
Yeah.
And you've said that, you know, this is what you love doing, making people feel better. And you started out as a good-looking, working-class gal. Which brings us to Kevin Kelway, who I don't know how many of the three of these actually apply. But Kevin, how did you start your own business?
Well, just, yeah, I'll come to that in a moment. I was just picking up on a couple of things that Rachel said there. I was very interested when she said about prison, because I work for an organisation where we went into prison, and they had a particular courses around SMEs there. And one guy had gone in there because he was a forger, very good forger, and he retrained, and now he does watercolour. He was doing watercolours. So he's come out, and he came out, and he was running his own business as a small SME. Passionate believer, because that was in Dartmoor Prison, so we did a lot of work in there. So absolutely passionate about that. And creativity, I mean, that's something which I work with. My background, I'm stage as well, and I worked with working with a playwright. He is setting up his own production company where he's going to have doing readings, so the whole production or his plays go online.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You know that's going global. So it's some fascinating stuff around creativity at the moment. You know, what are we, you know, what are the Scots, Brits, what are we great at? You know, we're great at, you know, creativity. What are you know, we've got this wonderful English, you know, the language that we have, you know, and we should be selling that creativity.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to you there, Rachel, and nearly everything you said there, I absolutely, you know, agree with. And to come back to your question, Ian, my company, I'm a background stage like you, but also, you know, I train as a journalist, and I said I reached the age of 50 and I was absolutely fed up somebody telling me what to do. And like you, I'm unemployable. I mean, so what did I have to do? I had to set up my own business. So I set up my own PR company, and I've been doing that for the last 7.5 years. And but part of that is working with people that I want to work with. You know,
like me.
Well, yeah, working with him.
Into every light,
really,
a little darkness must fall. Flat
really,
white
really
Mike.
Hard.
Can I just bring in Flat White Mike before I bring in Fiona?
Yeah, sorry,
Flat
I was
white
waffling
Mike,
on a bit.
You're a creative, aren't you?
Yeah, you've said that like 3 times.
Yeah, well, sometimes you never know whether you're awake or not. So Flat White Mike, what's your experience been of the business advisory world, the suits? Have you engaged? I mean, if you had met Rachel early on, do you think your life would have been different, better?
It would have been so much better. I mean, I recently just climbed a mountain. It's going to be on my blog soon. And Mount Business Plan, would you believe it's called? It's in Scotland. It's really weird. And these guys from somewhere, I can't remember their name, but they were pretty horrible from some place. They said that I really needed a business plan. So I climbed this mountain. At the top was this weird figure who told me that I'd climbed the wrong mountain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was shit.
Yep.
I didn't enjoy it.
Yep.
And then I had to go and climb up. A bigger mountain.
Yeah.
And I don't want to climb mountains when it comes to business plans. I want to be like Rachel and have that creative spark and go straight to it.
Yeah. Can I just say, we do that a lot though. We ask people to do something and then we tell them they've done it wrong. And that is something that's in the business support landscape that drives me absolutely bonkers. That we take people down a journey and say, you got to do it like this. And then you get feedback and they go, oh, not like that, but like this. And then they do it again. They go, no, 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 the criteria is this. And you're like, shut the f*** up. Just get it done. And actually, there's no point in having a business plan. There's no point in having a building. There's no point in having a constituted group or a business with a structure. If you've got nothing feckin' to sell, if you've got no story, if you've got people that don't, if you've got no customer, I mean, I meet people who drive me nuts. They go round and round the circuit that can survive for about 5 years without feckin' selling anything. And they get supported through a business support landscape that encourages that. They just make up shit. Do not get me started.
If you fancy ditching the employee habit and being your own boss, then head over to www.kicktheemployeehabit.com for Enterprise Ian's fabulous new book.
Yeah, so a friend of yours, Ian, Dee Dee Cudahy, has said something very pertinent about business plans. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Go on, let's hear it.
The business plan they presented, they said actually it was all bullshit with a couple of charts and sets of figures showing a realistic outcome and an optimistic one. And then he said, I think we stuck it in the back of a drawer afterwards, but I can't be sure that we ever looked at it since. And that was a company that's been going for 15-20 years.
I went on a course at Glasgow University, and I thought at the time 80% of it was brilliant and 20% wasn't. And then about a year in, after having started the business, I realised that the stuff that was 80% was brilliant was rubbish, and the 20% it was the other way around. And they were obsessed with business plans. And the whole point of they thought that was a business plan was It was to make your business better. Yeah. And there's a bit of thinking about it, make it, think it through. But then it gets taken over by people who are careerists. And actually, the other point, Dee Dee said, the whole point now of going to a business advisor is that they're not there to give you advice. They're there to fill in a chart that shows what they've done that justifies what they're actually going to do. So kind of going back to this whole thing about how the business started, Kevin, I'm just going round everybody. Kevin, what was the trigger that made you start your own business?
Well, working with a particular employer that I didn't particularly get on with. What I always find with PR as well, that with small SMEs, when they've got these fantastic ideas, and they're great going talking about it to other people, but there's always the same two roadblocks they always come up against. One is that it's money, and the second is how do they market it? How does people out there in the world shout about it? And then they've got these great ideas. They've got a product, but they can't sell it.
Yeah, but what was the trigger for you that made you start the business?
My trigger was I reached the big 5-0. I was fed up working with people that I didn't want to work with. I was getting bullied in an organization. And do you know what? I thought, I've had enough of this. And I just wanted, it was always an ambition I always wanted, which was to work for myself. And I never thought, this gay man could ever run his own business. But you know what? If I can do it, any bugger out there can do it.
You know, there's a guy that people will know, and he was on The Apprentice for many, many years with Alan Sugar. And I always thought Nick Heaver worked for Sir Alan Sugar, or Lord Sugar as he now is. He didn't. He had his own business. And one of the things that the trigger for him starting his business was he was, I think, made or going to be made redundant again. And he thought, I am never putting myself in the position again where somebody controls my life, and I'm going to go and do it. And many years ago, when I was doing my Enterprise Ireland stuff, this wonderful Malaysian guy who worked at Sage, which was just beginning to grow in Britain, and he was in Newcastle Gateshead, and we said, so what brings you to the programme? Why do you want to start your own business? And he said, well, actually, I don't. I'm really happy being in employment, but my family are worried about me. And we went, in what way are they worried about you? They were going, How can you work for somebody else? There's no security there. They will tell you what to do. They will control your lives. Why don't you go and start your own business? That way you're in control of your life and your destiny. Matthew, what was your trigger?
My trigger? Well, I think it's actually very similar to Kevin's in that I was working for a certain radio station and out of my control, new management comes in and they don't really get on with me. They have a totally different way of working and it just clashed with me and it just got worse and worse and worse. I had a breakdown or two. You know, it's when someone drives you to the hospital with a breakdown that you suddenly think, this isn't good. But then I had to actually stick with it because if I didn't, I wouldn't get the payout at the end of it. So I had to go through a whole lot of shit, as they say. But eventually I came out of it and I thought, well, you know, what have I got to offer the world?
I mean...
Right, anyone wants to answer that one?
Okay, Fiona, your trigger for starting your own business.
Well, the first time round, I really didn't want to start a business, but it was a bit of a shock because who I worked for decided they wanted to stop doing event management and wanted to do e-commerce. I'm talking about year 2000, so e-commerce was very big then. And it was either take all the clients on myself or look for another job. And I really loved what I did and I really did want to give up. That's I reluctantly gave it a go. That was the first time. The second time round, I think it was keeping control because it gave me the ability to, as an older mum and also as a part-time carer, it gave me the ability to work the hours I wanted and fit my work around my life rather than the other way around. So, yeah.
Biggest thing that keeps you awake, working for yourself. I'll tell you mine, and it's not quite so bad now, but it was one good piece of advice when I was on the university programme. And one of the lecturers who had his own business and they did the economics stuff, and he said, you have to have cash reserves. If you don't have cash reserves, he said, you will wake up from sleep with eyes as like two urine holes in the snow. He said, you will be pale, you will be worn, and your eyes will be sunken because you are worrying about getting paid. And actually, I think that was a really great, and he kind of then moved on. But what he was really saying was, if you're going to start the business, there's all these courses out there, and Rachel knows, we all know about them, pitching this, the golden bullet for success, scale your business. But if the business doesn't give you the money you want, you're finished. And nobody talks about that at all, ever. Rachel, what's your thoughts? What keeps you awake at night?
Yeah, no, that keeps me awake at night, especially I have colleagues as well. So, you know, when you're responsible for payroll, there's absolutely nothing worse than having that sinking feeling that at the end of the month you might not make it to payroll and people rely on you. And that makes you feel sick. And actually, I deal a lot with people in various other sectors who have never had that sinking feeling. So when you're working with people in other sectors, public sector, for example, who are salaried regardless, and I think it's been very stark in the pandemic, the challenges between the different environments, for people in that space to tell you that you need to fill in the criteria again or you need to do the report differently and you're just like, mate, I need to get this money to get payroll, like, what is going on? There's a real massive pressure there. And I think the other thing that really keeps me up at night, that coupled with letting people down, and you're only as good as your last job. So when you're working for yourself, if you're only as good as your last job, every single thing you do has to be awesome. You don't have any down days. Like, I'm not allowed to have an off day. I mean, Ian knows me well enough to know I have many off days. But I am not allowed to have an off day when you're front facing with people that rely on you for the work and they've employed you for the work. So that also, I don't think people appreciate that if you're doing that for yourself, you're on it 150% all the time. So when lockdown happened, we changed our model a week to 10 days before lockdown was official. We relaunched a new aspect of our organisation within like a week because we had to meet the demand. And we have been running absolutely 150% since then. There's been no break. And actually so much so, even if I've had annual leave or my colleagues have had annual leave, we all agreed as a team that we would not put that down as our auto-response.
What's it called, Rachel? What's the organisation called?
This part of our organisation is the Creative Entrepreneurs Club.
Kevin, biggest thing that keeps you awake?
Well, a partner of 29 years and is snoring. That's the first thing. I tell you what did keep me awake, because obviously if you have a mortgage and you've been used to a salary and then suddenly you're just thrown into a whole new culture, then you're running a business and you're worrying about the sort of, that paycheck every month. Will it pay the bills? So it was always that worried me in the beginning. But I agree with what Rachel said about, especially in PR, you're only as good as your last good PR job, in my motto. And you're always looking to, not better, but you always giving that quality, that front. People always expect you to be jolly and happy and I do all of those things because when if your background, you know, people expect that. But as soon as you shut the door, ooh. But running a business, yeah, definitely. There's all the usual things.
We're really selling the idea of running your own business. Flat White Mike, are you attracted by all of this?
Well, I was just thinking of what Kevin was saying there. And it just reminded me of that song from The Producers. What's it when they go to the big mansion?
Oh,
of the choreographer?
Springtime, that one.
Oh yeah.
It just reminded me of that. I was just thinking of The Producers and keeping it gay, keep it happy, keep it clappy, keep it gay.
That's what Kevin and I do.
Okay, folks. So I think we're beginning to ramble. So we've got two options here. Let's sum up this particular bit of the show. What's the message of what we've been talking about? Because I haven't a clue. Rachel, would you like to enlighten us?
Do you know, I know what we've been talking about. So I think there's a big message here around, and certainly I see this a lot in people, that some people we're expected to have a job, right? Everybody that leaves school or university or whatever journey we have, we're expected to have a job. And we're always expected to work for someone. And we're expected to work for someone because that generates better PAYE for the government and everybody wants all that. However, there are some people in this world that are not good to work for, and there are jobs that are not good jobs to be done. So for me, even though there's a stress and I have a constant slightly throbbing forehead of all the pressure that I'm under around trying to meet the needs of others and make sure we've got money in the bank, at the end of the day, myself and my colleagues control our own influence, and for me importantly, we control our own legacy, and we know we are given energy and empathy out to the world that is making a difference. And I think that if you want to, we're encouraged to be fearful about taking the leap to run your own organization or business or entity or idea or execute something, but we're encouraged to be fearful of that because of the perceived lack of security. But if we think about what's going on in the world at the moment, security is the last thing we have. What we have that is certain is creativity, ideation, the desire to create meaningful activity with the people that we love and people that we want to make a difference with. And if we can do that, and I'm a big fan of and an advocate of doing that through business, then I think the world's in a better place. And just to give you an example, Ian knows this, I've got two children, and one of my children, who's seven, is absolutely focused 100% on business. School to him is dead for him, he's having none of it. And every weekend he spends all of his weekend making business, and I've got all around me in my little office here, all around me his ideas of what he wants to make his business. This week we're going to do another art club because he thinks there's money in art, especially if it's original and one-off. So he's trying to encourage his art sales. He's also asked for an iPad, not to play games, but so he He can create his own content. Now, he doesn't know what these things are yet, but he's grown up in an environment where this has been allowed and accepted, and he's grasping it. Imagine what we could all do with that kind of thought process.
And that, I think, is a wrap for the Enterprise Ian show perfectly, because the tagline of Enterprise Ian and everything I've done has been business without the blah. And what we learned, God only knows, but life's better if you run your own business because you're not bullied by nasty people. You get a bit more control, and yeah, there's ups and downs, but you will have a better life and have fun and make money. That's it, folks. Bye.
You've been listening to the Enterprise Ian Show. Join the club at www.enterpriseian.scot.